Welcome to the April 19th Drupalize Me podcast. I am Addison Berry, and this is Drupalize Me podcast. We talk all things Drupal every other Friday. And today is actually a really special podcast for us because we are actually all sitting around Joe's kitchen table in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and there is 6 inches of snow outside, which would be around like 15 centimeters, you know, for the rest of the world that uses normal measurement. But it's cool because we're all actually in the same room and it makes the podcast quite awkward. So we'll see how this goes. But who is sitting around Joe's kitchen table in Minneapolis, Minnesota?
Kyle Hoffmeyer.
And?
Joe Schindler, obviously.
You would hope.
That'd be awkward if you weren't here.
And?
Emma Jane Westby.
Woo!
Yee-hoo!
This is Emma's, not first time on the podcast, but first time on the podcast as a lullabot. So that's pretty exciting stuff, too. This is a very special podcast. Today, yeah, we get even crazier when we're together, I think. Or you guys just see what I am actually doing when I'm at home. This is me. So for the podcast today, what we actually want to talk about is our plan for learning Drupal 8. And we'll talk sort of how we sort of, why do we need a plan? We the people who teach it. Well, that's why. But we're going to talk about sort of the conversations we had to kind of come up with this and what our initial plans are for getting up to speed with that, because it's coming, people. Before we hop into that, though, quick news with more quickness now. We just released a brand new series this past Wednesday, which is Working with Entities in Drupal 7. So if you want to get your entity nerd on, go check out that series. There's one free video in there that's just what are Drupal entities. So if you just sort of want to get an overview and wrap your head around it, you can go check that out. And the event list, I classically do all the upcoming events like in the next couple weeks. It's a really long list because there are a lot of events going on in the community. So I'm just gonna like pick a couple of them out and then we're gonna move on. So Drupal Camp Florida is happening tomorrow, Saturday, today's Friday, it's happening tomorrow. We are sponsoring that actually, and we're giving away a Drupalize Me annual subscription. So if you weren't sure if you wanted to go or not, go check it out. You might win an annual subscription there. And then later on, I think next weekend, is Linux Fest Northwest. So it's not a Drupal event, but there's going to be a lot of Drupal people there. And again, we are sponsoring and doing a giveaway there as well. That whole get off the island and get out and explore some other open source groups. So check that out if you are up in that area. And then, of course, DrupalCon Portland's coming up. 1 month away. Yeah, it's a little frightening. It's a little frightening. Don't mean to scare you. But we have workshops, and so we've talked about the real-world Drupal workshop that Joe and Jeff Eaton are going to be doing. But we also have the PSD to Theme workshop with Emma, so that's pretty awesome. So we're going to have lots of workshopping going on. Lots of lullabots are speaking. I don't even know the list. It's too many people. There's lots of them. And then I'm personally excited about the community tools workshop we're going to do on the sprint day on Friday. That's sort of my thing. But I love it because it's the Get Involved with Core sprint, and we do a workshop to get you up to speed with the basic things, the basic tools you need, and then you can spend all day working with other people in the community to work on core. Even if you've never coded before, if you don't know anything about what's going on with core, we have mentors to help guide you through that entire process for the entire day. So I highly recommend getting involved with that. And we also, there are extended core sprints happening the weekend before and the weekend after for people who are sort of already active in core, already involved in the core issues, to sit down and really just get a bunch of work done together. Because they have this opportunity when they're all together in the same city. We're actually going to be sponsoring part of that by providing food, which, you know, fuel for brains.
Important.
To make things happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited about Portland, and I'm a little frightened that it's only 1 month away. So if you are presenting and you have not really started to work on your presentation...
But of course you have, because you've been taking the speaker training.
Of course you have. get on it! That's all I'm saying! There are a lot of events going on, so you can go check out a full list of sort of upcoming events in a handy interface on drupacal.com. It's like Drupacal. Anyway, we'll put a link in the podcast notes. Work that. All right. I think that was quicker. I don't know. I ramble. What's our plan for Drupal 8, guys? Okay, well, let me preface by... this part of the reason we're together is we got together this week in Minneapolis to talk out some of the like bigger issues that we need to focus on as a team for Drupalize Me. And one of the things on our list is, you know, hey, Drupal 8's coming. What do we do about that? Like, because in order for us to teach it and begin building sites in it, we need to learn it. And like, you know, for me personally, I've had some peripheral involvement in terms of, you know, working with the core mentoring and things like that, but I haven't actually been working in Drupal 8, and many people in Lullabot, we've been working on other projects and not gotten to it yet. So we really had this sort of question, well, how do we get up to speed, and then how do we share that information with other people? So that's the conversation that we had, and we want to share with you guys the plan that we have, and, you know, maybe you'll find that interesting.
Maybe.
So, well, I mean, maybe we could start with, like, identifying our needs. Like, why do we need to come up with a plan? Like, we are a bunch of Drupal people, right? Like, we do Drupal stuff all day long. Why do we need to have an actual plan for learning Drupal 8?
I think the obvious thing for us is we need to be able to record videos about it and teach it, too. Or teach it, right? Like, all of us... are going to be needing to record videos for how to use the new interfaces and how to write modules and all of that for Drupal 8, akin to what we've done for Drupal 7. And so we need to learn how all of those things are going to work, and not just how they're going to work, but also like what's the differences between this interface in Drupal 7 and Drupal 8, and so that we can point those things out and help other people get up to speed. I know that as I'm learning how Drupal 8 works, I'm kind of trying to do so with an eye towards... what are the things that I struggle with, because I know how to do this really well in Drupal 7 and I bump into it in Drupal 8 and I'm kind of like, oh, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm trying to take note of those things so that I can point them out to people, hopefully.
Yeah. We also have, like, the larger, you know, Lullabot crew. Like, we need to teach it, but at some point we're going to start building sites on Drupal 8, I think. You know, that's the plan, right? And, you know, I mean, not everybody has time to go and play in Drupal 8. And one of the things that I have wanted to do with Drupalize Me is help everybody at Lullabot learn the things that they need to learn. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody's, like, working. It's not like everybody can just, like, stop and take a month off and play with new technology or something like that. So I feel like, no, darn it. So, like, for me, I think it's also really important, like, from just a larger company perspective, even if we weren't an education team teaching others, we need to internally educate and know these tools, mm-hmm. not just so that we can... be like, well, yes, we can build your site on Drupal 8, but so we actually understand it, so that we can make the right choices, so that we aren't just sort of, you know, I don't know how this exactly works, but I'll just figure it out. It's like, well, no, what are the new best practices? When things change, best practices change, and you know, that's how you're on top of your game.
You know, I think as a company, Lullabot does a lot of consulting, and when you're consulting with someone or even just helping to like architect and create a plan for building a website, it's not just about being able to read the documentation and understanding how to do this thing in Drupal, like which buttons to click or which Drupal API you should use in order to accomplish the goal. But it's important to know like why the API was designed in that way and what some of the possible limitations are. And, you know, there's so much new stuff in Drupal 8. There's the CMI initiative, configuration management. And, you know, there's a public-facing API that is just a few functions that you can call and, you know, load your config data. But there's been years worth of discussion that's gone into figuring out not only what those functions are, but also what the underlying storage mechanism is and so forth. And I think at Lullabot, and for a lot of people, it's really important to understand not just that you can call a function and get, you know, true or false back from it, but how that whole system works and what some types of limitations you might run into, and just kind of better prepare yourself for those kinds of things. The things that aren't obvious by reading api.drupal.org, and are probably also the harder things to learn about Drupal or any system.
Yeah. I think it's a really neat space from a curriculum developer's point of view, in part because when you have massive change that you're trying to introduce into a new system, you need to look at it from a number of different perspectives. And the basic one is just, can I repeat the information that someone has talked to me about? So can I watch a video and repeat what's being done? And that's yeah. one way of, or one level of learning. But then when you get up into the developers and how we teach developers and how we approach this from a curriculum point of view, as Joe said, that's a why. And you may not need to know the whys. If all you do is repeat those steps as a site builder, you just need to know what to do. So when we bump into these sort of new systems as curriculum developers, we may be talking to subject matter experts, which we have some subject matter experts in the Lullabot team, which is great. But then we also need to look outside and talk to some of the other initiative leads, talk to people who've been working on these problems, look through the issue queue. And as a curriculum developer, you don't need to necessarily understand all that information, but it's your job to collect it all. It's your job to put it into a format that you can then bounce back and forth with a subject matter expert and have them say, yeah, that's actually the way that this is going to unfold, or that's, you know, it's not quite right yet. Like, technically you're right, but the why part isn't exactly, like, right. Explain it this way instead.
So and how that defines how people will actually interact with it versus it's like just what. But it's like, but what are the best practices around that? Or, like, because the why has a huge impact in terms of what you do.
It's the whole thing of, like, you know, you don't want to teach somebody how to write code and call this function, and then they're like, well, how does it work? Why does it work that way? And you're like, oh, it's just magic. Like, you hear that all the time with people talking about Drupal. You just, you know, do this thing, and then a bunch of magic happens in the background, and it's, well, no, it's not actually magic. There's a bunch of code that's running that's making those decisions. Someone, at some point, decided to architect things in that particular way, and understanding why they did that is not easy and really important, I think.
I watched a video recently, and we can put a link to it in the resources, with XJM, Eclipse GC, Krell. I think I'm missing another person who was on there. And they were trying to decide, out of the parts that we're bringing in from Symfony, what do you actually need to learn about Symfony? And it was really in a kind of, like, watch a train wreck morbid fascination. Like, I love watching people agree or disagree on what you need to learn. And it was sort of you must learn XYZ, and you must learn ABC, and you must. And then XJM was like, you don't need to learn this stuff. You just need to, like, copy and paste some code and see what sticks and see what the error messages are. So that part of it is fun for me as well, to see what pieces do people think are important. And our learners in the sort of from the basic site building through to someone who's going to be consulting for people who are doing basic site building, where are the points that, like, here's the cutoff of what you need to know and what you need to care about? Or if you want to go a little bit deeper, then, okay, here's a little bit more information.
It's also really fascinating, too, because, like, these are people who have been deeply, deeply involved in Drupal 8, and so their perspective on what you need to know when the rubber meets the road may be accurate. May not be accurate. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like when it gets down to, like, yeah, so my next project is, you know, will be a Drupal 8 project, and now I need to start building with it, you know, and for different people, depending on a lot of things. It's not a, it's certainly not cut and dry, but it's an interesting thing to see where, what people talk about, where they put the emphasis, mm-hmm. and when you put that together with several people, where things overlap, and again, it's this kind of information that is a lot harder to kind of suss out, but that is the actual, I don't want to say, because just knowing the what and the copy-paste is obviously essential and it is important, but when it actually comes to building a site and putting all, like, you can read stuff on how to build a Drupal site, pointy-clicky, currently, Drupal 7, these things, you do these steps, but if you don't understand the concept of building a Drupal site and what Drupal expects you, how Drupal expects you to approach building a site, those what clicky steps are not necessarily successful, or certainly not in the way that you might expect them to be. So, and it's the same thing with all of these changes. Like, we know Drupal 7 and then it comes, but like, what is going on with Drupal 8? What was the concept behind it? Why were these decisions made? How are these changes going to affect this? You know, and maybe this component of Drupal 8 makes sense and is sort of, you know, doing its own thing, but how does that affect the other things around it? And now all of a sudden, your perspective on how you use, you know, another system because it's interacting with this new one, mm-hmm. Is like, oh, okay, it's a completely different approach to problem solving now. And so I think that's really important stuff to suss out. So, okay, so problem space, that's what we're trying to do.
All I know is I just downloaded WordPress since Joe told me there's no magic in Drupal. Kind of ruined it for me, Joe.
Sorry.
I like to believe that there's unicorns and wizards saving my forum and not an API.
If you dig into the code deep enough, you might find some wizards in there.
And some unicorns.
Yep.
What a unicorn function. So how are we going to do this? Like, we kind of came up with a game plan for us that we feel will work for us. But so who wants to talk about our game plan? What's our game plan? Does anybody remember?
Well, when we were discussing this, we all came to one conclusion, is that, well, Drupal 8 really isn't totally ready for us to start doing everything we'd love to do with it. So, but we want to start learning it, and we want to start teaching it in some way or some fashion. So we've decided to do this through blog posts, random blog posts here and there until it is ready. And in those blog posts, we can start showing people what Drupal 8 is in this state and time that we do the post, and what features it has, and maybe discuss some of those. Mm-hmm. Show how Views is in core now. Show the new admin menu bar and things like that. So I think that's a good start for, not only will it help us start to learn what Drupal 8 has to offer, but it's also a way for us to show people that don't have time to download Drupal 8 and play with it. We can start playing with it for people. So I think that's kind of what we're going to be doing.
And it's going to be interesting, I mean, because the idea is to sort of do this and kind of take snapshots of the current state of Drupal 8 over time. And, you know, on the one hand, you could think of, like, well, why don't you just wait till it's done? Like, why bother looking at it now? We aren't even at code freeze, right? Like, what's the point of us looking at it throughout the journey until we get to the release? Like, how is that more beneficial than just waiting to the end?
One of the things that I really love doing when I get together with other people is I love watching them use their computers, because I learn so much stuff about how to tackle problems and approach problems in my own day-to-day work. So one of the things that I love about the blog series that Kyle had originally suggested was it's almost like sitting down with someone and talking through how do you even go about approaching these, like, I mean, maybe they're trivial, maybe they're massive. We don't even know what the changes are yet, if for those of us who haven't been kind of following along with Drupal 8. So this, it's kind of a voyeuristic look into how do you tackle these problems? Like, how should I go about tackling the problems as someone who's just going to read the blog posts? And where are the points that, and one of the things that we talked about was, like, how smooth should we make these blog posts? Like, if there's, or these screencasts, if there's an error in Drupal 8, do we edit that out? Do we show people? How much do we expose? How much do we hide? And I think it's going to be really neat for me as someone who's creating the information and also people consuming to see that learning, it's okay if it's a little bit rocky, and it's okay to bump into things and explore or just be like, you know, I'm not ready to explore this brokenness yet. I'm going to set this aside for now and wait until this is fixed. So I hope people enjoy it, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun to put together. And I know that some of the stuff that I've done previously where I'm like, I'm just going to screencast myself turning on a module that I've never used before and trying to talk through
my process of getting this done.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I think those are really useful.
I always have this idea that it would be hilarious if I tried to screencast myself installing Joomla.
Don't know what this is. That'd be awesome. I also, like, I mean, I have been somewhat involved in the process with the Drupal core folks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's also, it's just sort of Drupal 8 coming, new version of Drupal is coming. I don't know, there are wizards over in the corner doing things, you know? And it's like, but no, there's real people making decisions, and this is the progress of the work, and seeing how those things change. I mean, it's just interesting. It's just sort of fascinating, just on a plain level of, like, watching something progress. I mean, everybody loves those, like, stop motion, you know, things, right? Where you watch and you're like, whoa, that's just crazy cool. But there's also an element of getting our hands in it now, even though it's too early, and understanding the pieces, even if they're moving around and shifting around, that's going to give us a lot more familiarity and flexibility with it as it progresses. So when we get to that kind of quote-unquote finished state, I mean, there's always going to be changes after release to a degree, but once it's released and this is what Drupal 8 is, we will have had all of this experience, even if some of the things that we play with don't actually manifest in what's released in Drupal 8 or whatever. Like, we'll have had all of this experience of, like, all these various pieces over months and months of time, so that that finished product will feel like something that we've grown with and that we understand.
I think it's that whole, like, understanding how the decisions were made. And if you're watching and hopefully even helping make those decisions over the course of the next year or however long it takes, we'll have a better understanding of all of those, the moving pieces. If we're, you know, installing it now and playing with it and saying, oh, this is broken, and tracking down the issue and figuring out why it's broken, and being able to get involved in those discussions and help make decisions too, and then you understand better why things are this way. So ultimately, when it comes time for us to record our Site Building with Drupal 8 series, we'll have some background knowledge of all of those decisions and how we got to where we are and why this is different in 8 than it is in 7 and so forth.
I think as well, with some of the massive changes that have gone in Drupal 8, there's not that there's a complacency, but there can be sort of this pause between when core is ready and when contrib is ready. Mm-hmm. And I think that on 8, it's going to be a lot more fun for me to dig in and see and watch things progress, instead of having this complete frustration of like, yeah, but my favorite contrib isn't ready yet. Yeah, but this,
I'm not doing anything with that yet.
So I'm just going to wait till you guys are, like, you know, done with whatever it is that you're going to do. And that's the thing, right? Because on this one, I feel like I can, because core has more in it, that there's the community dynamics are different in terms of me jumping in because I'm jumping into core. I'm not jumping into core and 10,000 contributed modules. I'm jumping into one, albeit really, really big. So I think it's just a different, for me, it's a different mindset that we used to have more of a divide on the initial release date between core and contrib. And I think on the initial release date, we're going to have a product that we expect
to do more.
So that's gonna be cool.
Yeah.
And you kind of asked why would we do this? It's why not? also, I mean, I think people come to us, and I mean, we're group of people with a website to teach people Drupal. So it only makes sense to be ahead of the game than behind the game. Right. So things are going to change, but it's not like it's going to change so much that when it comes out, it's going to not be called Drupal. So, I mean, it just makes sense.
We think so right yeah, now. Well,
we hope not. So why not start learning now? It's not going to do anything but help us. It's going to give us an advantage. Like you guys were saying, it's not just about the copy and paste. It's the decisions that went into that. Mm-hmm. Those decisions are now there. They can't, I mean, sure, they can make some changes, but we can start learning the why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And like Joe said, I mean, to a degree, we can help affect the why. I mean, it's interesting when you teach, you find the what kind of moments in a huge way, right? And so, like, when you begin playing with something that's still in this, like, kind of moldable, shiftable to a degree state, and you know, we play with it and we're like, this make, how would I even explain this to somebody else? Like, this just doesn't, it makes sense maybe in the code, but it doesn't make sense in terms of how we're actually interacting with it. So maybe I can, you know, if I'm gonna have to teach it, maybe I can make my life, my future self happier by helping fix this problem while it's still moldable and changeable, so that when it comes to actually being released and me having to really explain it, it makes more sense. I mean, or whatever. Like that, I think I've found so many just really weird things from teaching, not from actually using it, because I just plow through when I'm using it. Mm-hmm. But when you have to explain it to somebody else, and they look at you, and you, like,
that whole thing
you
of,
hear yourself speaking, and you're like, this does not make any sense, what I'm saying.
And you're kind of like explaining, you know, something in hook menu or whatever the case is, and someone in the class goes, well, why does it do that? And you're like, well, I don't really know. I mean, I know how it works, but...
Just because?
Yeah.
Because Charlie said we should.
Because Drupal said so.
Because yeah. That's the way it is. Yeah. Are you guys familiar with the change records that they've published on Drupal.org for Drupal 8? So the transition between 6 and 7, there was this page that you could go to on Drupal.org that's like, you know, updates /6/7, and it was just one giant page that had
a list
of most of the major changes, and you could scroll down and find the change that you were interested in, and there'd be a link to the issue, and then a sort of a, this is what it looked like in Drupal 6, this is what it looked like in Drupal 7. For Drupal 8, there's individual change records for each one of those things, and there's now a database of all of those change records.
Crazy.
And so when you want to go and see, you know, why was, you know, this particular module added to core, you can find the change record for that, and it'll explain a little bit about the background. It'll link to the initial issue, and it'll also show you things like, is there documentation written for this yet? Mm-hmm. And if so, like, where you can find it. I think that that'll be an interesting way to start to learn about what's going on with Drupal 8, especially for people that haven't been deeply involved over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. There's this backlog of, you can kind of just go through and read, like, this is what's changed over time. Really, it's like a much more detailed changelog.txt file.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, it's interesting, this whole thing, like, over time, like, it's not ready yet, and we're doing, but, like, there's a lot of things that are changing, and if you think you're going to learn them in, like, a few weeks once Drupal 8 is released, you're probably kidding yourself. Like,
well, unless you wait for our videos and watch them, and then, you know.
Well, once we distill it.
Right, yeah. Right?
But right, I mean, like, but that's the thing is, right, like for us to be able to distill it, we're not going to sit down with Drupal 8 Mm-mm. for a week and learn how to build a site in Drupal 8 and then make a video on it. Like, Mm-mm. not going to happen, because there's so many things that are changing. And so I also just sort of feel like we need to start now, so we can start working our way through all of it over months and months and months, and getting familiar with all of the different little pieces that have been moving around. Because there's just, there's also just an actual, like, long list of things to work through, and we need to kind of pace ourselves to get there, you know? Like,
it's a marathon, not a sprint, my friends.
It's true. We have little sprints every so often, but the big race is a marathon, for sure. So, yeah. So anyway, that's our plan. And so soon-ish.
Good luck, like, us.
We're going to do a blog post. And the blog post will, I mean, we also do intend to have screencasts that go with the blog posts, just to sort of have that snapshot thing. We are not setting ourselves a schedule on this. because there's lots of other things going on. But also, like, you know, the pace of how we're learning and what we're learning, we don't know that yet. So we don't want to put an arbitrary schedule on ourselves. But we definitely will start learning Drupal 8 and start sharing that information with you guys. And I really hope that that other people do also get involved and do this. Like this is what we're doing. We're doing it, obviously, for our reasons, our internal team, our need to educate. But I also would really encourage folks to think about this in terms of your organization. Are you a Drupal shop? Are you a company that uses Drupal? Like, eventually Drupal 8's coming, and you should start to think now just about that fact's coming, and like, what are your needs? Even if you don't, maybe you don't need to learn Drupal 8 now. There are a lot of people out there who don't. You're on a Drupal 7 site and you're gonna be on that for 2 or 3 years. That's, you know, but assess. You know, actually sit down and sort of talk and assess. When will we need to learn Drupal 8, or do we? And if so, is there, you know, a way that we can start thinking about ahead of time to sort of, you know, pace yourself and build that into what you're doing so that there's not some kind of fire at the end of the tunnel that you have to deal with? I know that wasn't... I don't know.
Fire at the end of the tunnel.
I don't know. I love to mix metaphors. I don't even know what that mixture was. I'm sorry.
Pretty sure you just made that one. There was no mixing going on.
Black hole at the end of the universe. I don't know. but yeah, so...
And once you say something in a podcast, it's stuck. You can't, I mean, we have to do it now. I mean, it's in a podcast.
Yeah.
You may have just invented a new metaphor.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Does anybody else have any other closing thoughts on, I don't know, Drupal 8 and general awesomeness?
If only people could see a group of four just staring blankly at each other at this particular moment.
I feel like we should all high five. Because you can actually...
Can we do it all at the same time?
Ready?
That was so lame. That did not work.
No.
I think we just need to do one right over the mic. Joe style.
We could just end on one of those.
All high right. Five, Drupal community.
It was National High Five Day yesterday. Anyway, yeah, we will, you know, be putting stuff out there, and I hope other people get involved and engaged and become part of the conversation, and help us help you. And
yeah, so if you've got a topic that you really want us to dig into and watch us... see us fail as we try to learn something in a screencast.
If you want to watch us attempt to do this before you do, let us know. And we will. And we'll share it.
Even we totally if will.
Even if it blows up.
Yep.
We'll show it to you. So, all right. Thanks a lot, everybody. And time to go play in the snow.
Woohoo!